الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I'm unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, and pen, or some way of taking notes. And of course, you have your Quran next to you, so you'll be able to follow along with me as I read some of the different verses from the Quran, from the different chapters in the Quran, and you just sort of follow along with me. Our translations may be different, but Quran originally is in Arabic. That's the Quran. We had different interpretations of it in Spanish, English, French, and all different languages, but the original language of the Quran is Arabic. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic study class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic, or today's subject that we're going to talk about today in class, will be, who should be your friend or your companion? Now, many of us, we have people who are our friends. We call them our friends. Oh, this is my best friend, or something like that. And so we have those kind of relationships between ourselves and other human beings, be it male or female. We have a relationship with them. But one of the definitions of friend is a person whom one knows, likes, and trusts. And so hopefully the person that you call your friend, someone that you like, someone that you know, or someone you trust. That's one of the definition, and companions, and also you have comrade, different other definitions of friend, but this is one of the definition, or the first definition in the dictionary that I use, the English dictionary, where it says, friend is a person who one knows, likes, and trusts. Now we're going to talk about sort of the definition of friend from the Islamic standpoint. And so I hopefully you're at the end of this particular class, you will have a better understanding in definition of friend when you're talking about Islam. And again, like I always say, and many when I begin my different talks, is that this is only the tip of the iceberg. We have volumes and volumes and volumes about friends, about being friends, about companions, and these kind of things, and the companions and the friends of the Prophet, and peace and blessings be upon him, called Sahaba, which is the Arabic word for friend, companion. And so the Prophet Muhammad SAW, he had them. He had companions by his side. They're around him, asking questions of him, copying him, protecting him. All kind, and Allah said he's the best protector for the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he had people who he know, people who he likes, and people who he trusts. Those were his friends. Those were the ones who were near to him and dear to him. And so hopefully you'll get from this particular class a better understanding of who should be your friends. You probably need to sometimes sit back and evaluate. Well, is this person really my friend? Do I really know them? Do I really like them? Do I really trust them? Or even look at it from Islamic standpoints. Are they considered to be your friend? Or these are people that will help you to get into paradise if they see you doing something wrong? Or they're the ones that quickly help you to go to hellfire when you're seeing something wrong being done? They don't say anything about it. Or say something against something bad you're doing, and they say something against it and warn you about it, or bring a court to pull you up on it, if you will, about something bad that you're doing. That's the kind of friend that I know that I want. One is trying to get me into paradise. One is not trying to make me their companion in the hellfire. And so let me go on. Allah says in chapter 10, verse 62. Again, chapter 10, verse 62. And he says, Alla inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Beware, the friend of Allah has nothing to fear or to regret. You want to have an habib, a friend, a companion. You want Allah to be your friend. You want Allah to be your companion. You want Allah to Allah by your side. When you need something and you walk to Allah, Allah runs to you. And so this is the friend that we need by our side. And that's first our best friend we want to have is Allah. Our best companion is Allah. When the Prophet, when peace be upon him, was inside a cave, and in the cave, and just him and his father-in-law at the time, Abu Bakr, there were two people in the cave, because they sort of left Mecca and trying to kind of hide out from the people who were pursuing them, which were the non-Muslim Quraysh people who were pursuing them, and they really pretty much want to hurt them or kill them or drag them back to Mecca, but not in a friendly way. And so the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr, they were inside the cave hiding out. And then Abu Bakr, he was a little concerned about that. Oh man, they're getting near to us. They're going to know we're in the cave. And the Prophet sort of, you know, kind of cooled him down, kind of chill out a little bit, and said, you know, basically he was saying, I'm going to sort of paraphrase this, and say, how can we be afraid when we are two, but Allah is a third, and if we're four, Allah's a, and if we're three, Allah's a fourth. So Allah is there. Allah is there by their side. He is their companion, and Allah protected them. He protected them with just basic things. He protected them by putting have a spider to make a web over the entrance of the cave, and then he protected them, had a bird have his nest there, and have I think some eggs was inside of it. And so when the people who were pursuing the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon them, they went to the cave and said, no, nobody's in this cave, because look, the spider web have not been disturbed. And look at these birds. They settle right here, this nest where the birds are. They wouldn't settle any place where there's going to be a lot of activity or human activity there. They wouldn't even put their nest there and put their babies there, or the chicks there, whatever you want to call them, the baby birds there. They wouldn't have done that. And so they walked away. Allah could have just destroyed those people. He could have killed those people, blew them off of that, the side of that mountain, or away from the mouth of that cave. But he didn't do that. He said he did something very, very simple. He used his own creation by having an insect make a web over the entrance of the cave. And then he had and one of his other creation, where it was the birds that had a nest there. And then and it made the people, convince the people who was pursuing them to go another way and not go into the cave, because no way anyone would went inside a cave without disturbing the spider web or disturbing this particular the bird's egg and a nest there. And so we see from this, Allah is their friend. And so it said, beware. The friend of Allah has nothing to fear or regret. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr Siddiq, they had nothing to fear or regret. Nothing. They had, because they had Allah by their side, they had absolutely no fear of these people who were pursuing them, who outnumbered them, who outgunned them, who were looking to kill them or to harm them or drag them back to Mecca, and didn't want them really to go to Medina, where they were establishing the first, what you call, Islamic State. And please, student, you are intelligent people. Read about Islamic State, what it truly is. A lot of times people associate Islamic State with terrorism. and they don't even go together. They're like oil and water. They don't even mix together. It's like the Allah Ta'ala making the barrier of the sea. The salt water does not mix with the fresh water. They can never mix because Allah has a barrier between the two. And so the same thing in what I'm talking about here is no mixture there, my students. So just check out for yourself what I'm talking about. And about this deen Islam, look for yourself and find out for yourself what I'm talking about and what I'm referring to or when I speak. And you find again, I'm only talking about the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more underneath. I'm going to go to the next thing where Allah said, I'm going to read it in English because of time. Allah says in chapter 7, verse 196, again, chapter 7, verse 196, and it says, my protector is Allah, who has revealed this book, and he is protecting friend of the righteous. So you want to know about the protector, who is my protector and protector of the Muslim, and I want him also to be your protector? It's Allah, who revealed his book, which is Quran, which you're opening up now, as you be on chapter 7, verse 196. This is Quran, and he is protective friend of the righteous. We do righteous deeds. Allah is our protector and our friend. We push for righteousness among the people, forbid what is wrong and encourage what is right. Allah is our protector. He is our friend. So this is what we want. So our first friend, again, that we should have, and it's confirmed with the ayat verse from Quran, is that we should have Allah to be our first friend. And you all decide to embrace Islam. And don't be afraid of other people. Don't be afraid at all of the other people to say this thing and that thing about Islam. Don't become Muslim. No. Don't listen to them. Listen to what your heart says. Read Quran for yourself. Get understanding of Islam for yourself. Because the naysayer, I used to be Muslim. Now I'm not Muslim. This is the reason I'm not being Muslim. Okay, you decided to walk away from Islam. Allah gave you the key to paradise by giving you Islam. You told hold on to the key. When you get to the door with the help of Allah Ta'ala, turn that key, and Allah Ta'ala, by Allah's will, allow you to paradise. And the key is Islam. Don't throw that key in your back. Don't throw it behind you and walk away from the key to the Jannah, to paradise. It also could be the key because it gives you the warning to the hellfire. Who wants that key to hell? You're going to open the door and enter hellfire. Nobody wants that. I explained to you before about the hellfire, about what happens in the hellfire. I explained this. Go to some of my old episode. You see for yourself what the hellfire, what lies for people in the hellfire. And so we don't want to open that door at all. Even though when we in the grave, we have two windows open up for us. If you're a believing person, believing in Allah, submitted to Allah, a Muslim, you have these two, for everyone, you have these two windows open for you. One window will open to paradise, and all the beautiful fragrance will come from paradise. Oh, man, I want that thing now. Get rid of the people right now. I want this thing called paradise right now. And also the window to hellfire. With all the heat and the stink and everything coming from the hellfire, oh man, I don't want this thing. I want to avoid this thing as much as possible. We'll see these two windows. I mean, if you do righteousness and become Muslim, that window to hellfire may close for you. And then you only get the window from the paradise where Allah promised. And there are people right now in the grave. They're basically praying that Allah hurry up and destroy the world so that they can get the paradise. This is what they want. But don't hurry. Be patient. Be patient. And Allah says, like, sleep. Relax yourself. And on the day of judgment, Allah wake us up. And it seems we've only been asleep for just a little while. But we've been asleep for years and years and years until Allah decide that all of mankind, you know, I'm done. I'm finished. Time for you all to come and get what you deserve and what you earned. When you say, oh mankind, Allah says, oh mankind, it's time. Then we look around and we say to each other, huh, did you hear that? Some of us say, yeah, I heard it. Others will say, no, I ain't hear it. Allah may say again, it's time, mankind, it's time. Then again, you say it to your companion, hey, Habib, did you hear that? Friend, companion, Sahaba, did you hear that? At that time, they may say, yes, I heard it. I heard it. Then Allah will, then, of course, Judgment Day will be upon us. And I also spoke to you in the past about Judgment Day. It's our choice. Well, how are we going to present on that day? What kind of book? Is our book going to be put in our left hand or our right hand? Are we going to hellfire? Are we going to paradise? And we'll be judged accordingly. Hopefully, our book will be basically put on the scale, the mizan, and our deeds will be put on the mizan, and our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, and we're off to paradise. But if our bad deeds outweigh our good deeds, then we're off to the hellfire. It's like no in between. Not at all. We don't have that in Islam. Are you going to paradise or are you going to the hellfire? That's it. Some people may stay on the hellfire for a little while, and you don't want to have anything to do with the hellfire, and even just a little time in the hellfire. People say, "Oh, I go in and no problem." No. You don't want that at all. None of us want that. We want to spend the rest of our eternity, rest of our life after our death, and we live on, if you will, in paradise, where anything that we want, we get. We're around 30, 35-ish. When we are at our strongest, that's how it would be. And anything that we want, we get. Can you imagine that? That we'd be reclining on chairs and sofas and cushions and it'd be real nice, our couch. Anything that we want or need, it'd be brought to us or given to us. All we had to do is just want it. And Allah asks, are you happy? Hey, my companions, look, my Habib, my friends, are you happy? And we say, Ya Allah, we're so happy. But I have something else to give to you. Ya Allah, what more can you give to us? We're happy with what we have. And then Allah Ta'ala, He will reveal Himself and take what you call the khimar away or the blockage away and reveal His face to us. Ah, subhanAllah, glory to Allah. What a beautiful thing and what a beautiful sight to see that Allah will reveal to us. Any other time, if he uncovered, it will almost like burn us up. But Allah will make it so we don't burn up and that we don't fry and we're not harmed by Him unveiling Himself and showing Himself to us as an addition to paradise. In addition to doing what Allah Ta'ala is saying, in addition to having the friends that are going to encourage you and you encourage them to do what is right and forbid what is wrong. Let me move on, my brothers and sisters and my students. Allah says also, my faithful servant's reward for me, if he have taken to me his best friend from amongst the inhabitants of the world, and he has then bore it patiently for my sake, shall be nothing less than paradise, which I always talked about paradise. Just taking Allah for our friend amongst the inhabitants of the world. And we're patient for the sake of Allah. We get nothing less than a paradise, as I just mentioned. Nothing less than that. Because why? Because we took Allah as our best friend. And also we were very patient. Secondly, we take the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, as our friend. And you say, yeah, Imam, where's your proof? Let me tell you my proof. Be patient with me. It was narrated by Abdullah Ibn, or the son of Mas'ud. Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, if I were to choose a bosom friend, I would have definitely chosen Abu Bakr as my bosom friend. But he is my brother and my companion, and in Allah, the exalted, the glorious, has taken your brother and your companion, meaning Prophet Muhammad, as his friend. Allah has taken the Prophet Muhammad as his friend, and my Prophet Muhammad mentioned Abu Bakr as being his friend. The companion of the Prophet was Allah. So we follow the Prophet. Our companion should also be Allah. We know our wives or our husband, they're close to us, they're our friend. Yeah, we understand that part. But our best companion is Allah. And we do things and be patient and do things for Allah, we get nothing less than paradise. It is also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It was narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, which is the son of Umar. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "The best friend in the sight of Allah is he who is the well-wisher of his companions, and the best neighbor is the one who behaves best toward his neighbors." Two things going on here. One is the best friend inside of Allah is the one who is the well-wisher of his companions. You want for your brother what you want for yourself. I want Jannah, I want paradise for me, and I also want that for my brother. This is what I want. I'm the well-wisher. I want for my brother, I want for myself. If I make it dua, I'm making supplication. And I'm saying something to my brother, Allah, bless him with this, bless him with that. Oh, my sister, bless him with this, bless him with that. They don't even know I'm doing this. They haven't asked me to do this. I'm just doing it because I have this love for this individual. And then Allah Ta'ala says the same to you. An angel said the same to you. What I want for my brother, I'm the well-wisher for my brother, my companion. Saying, and the angels, Allah Ta'ala says same to you. You get the same thing that what you're praying for this individual. It was also narrated by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, by Abu Musa. He said, Allah's apostle said, "The example of a good companion who sits with you in comparison with a bad one is like that of a musk seller and a blacksmith bellows or furnace. From the first, you can either buy a musk or enjoy the good smell, while the bellows would either burn your clothes or your house, or you get a bad, nasty smell thereof." So it's all about your companion. You have a companion that had this kind of perfume or cologne or this kind of oil. It's beautiful smell, this musk smell. And yeah, you want to be because they smell so good. You want to be with them because their particular smell may rub off on you. Sometimes, I don't know if you experience this or not, if you shake a person's hand who has some perfume on or some oil on, and then you smell your hand later on, you kind of smell your hand and smell that person's odor on you or that oil on you. For a while in your nostril, you still smell that person oil that they had on, and you still smell it. Or perfume, wherever it may be, you still smell it. And then you have the opposite of the person who works as a blacksmith or furnace. And not knocking anyone who works in that job, because they're very important people. But just using that as an example, and as I said, you might get your clothes might be burnt from it, or you might get the nasty smell from that particular individual, that the soot or whatever they get when they're around the furnace may get on you. Again, not knocking people who do the job of horseshoe and that kind of thing are working at the blacksmith, because you are very, very important people in my book. You're important to the people who have horses and the lack of the shooting the horses and tending to the horses. So, I mean, you're very important. Some people are very essential. They may not seem like essential persons, but they're also essential to our daily lives, but just doesn't seem like they are. But they are. If you have certain people not in your life, it will make life a little bit a challenge if they're not there. Also, if they provide for their people, we do not want to be like what I'm going to mention right now. It's going to be in chapter 25, verses 27 through 29. Again, turn your book, turn your Quran to chapter 25. Verse 27 to 29. And it says, "On that day the wrongdoers will bite his hand, saying, 'Oh, would that I have only taken the pathway alongside the Rasul,'" meaning the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, "'Oh, would that I had never chosen so-and-so for my companion. He was the one who led me astray from the admonition even after it had reached me. Satan is ever treacherous to man. This is what the wrongdoer would say on that day, on chapter 25, verses 27 to 29, is that they would bite their hand, like people do, bite their hand, and they say, like, oh, if only I followed the path of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. But instead, I follow so-and-so as my companion. Not the Prophet being my companion, not Allah being my companion, but so-and-so was my companion, and they misled me. I was at the fork of the road, and they misled me, and I went to the wrong. I went into the wrong road, and they led me astray. And Satan is ever a treacherous. He's treacherous to mankind. Satan, he's the one that disobeyed Allah. Allah told all of the before him. He said, bow down to Adam. I just created something with my own hand. Bow to it. All everyone that was present bowed to it except for Shaitan. Shaitan said, I ain't bowed down to that. Although the question, the angels did question Allah about it. And they asked Allah, you know, why are you going to create something that's going to basically disobey when we obey you? They had those questions that they asked of Allah. And Allah responded to them. I'm not going to get into that right now. Allah responded to them. But Shaitan, he said, no, I'm not going to bow down to that. I'm made out of smoke and fire. He made out of clay, out of dirt, out of nothingness. I think I read where Shaitan just went in all up inside of man and said, hey, this is nothing here. I'm not bound to that. Allah said, you know, get you out of here. And you'll be cursed like for the rest of your life. And Shaitan knew the deal. He said, yo, Allah, basically, I know I'm cursed, but look, give me respite. Don't, like, hurt me right now. I'm going to mislead man, or many of mankind. And Allah said, you won't be able to mislead all of them. And the ones you mislead, they're going to be in a hellfire with you. And all Shaitan is doing, he's just going to suggest to you things that you do because he cannot make you do anything. He cannot take your hand and make you drink or make you hug that woman you're not married to or the man you're not married to or steal something. He cannot make you do that. He can only suggest to you and make it convincing to you that it's okay to do. And then you go and do it. Or a woman who is Muslim, and she takes her clothes off. Her clothes, in obedience to Allah, her khimar off, and all her dress, he takes it off. Or a man who does the same thing, or wear the clothing of the women, and he act like a woman. All these kind of things, this goes against Islam. I know people who are listening to me, now you're going to turn me off because I said some of the things I said, but turn me off. That's up to you. That is your choice. I'm just telling the truth, what Islam says. Not what you think, or what you feel, or some ideology that you have. I'm not going with that. Because that ideology you have, it'll change the next day. One day you have this ideal, next day you have this ideology, and another methodology the next day. So you'll be all over the place and following the misguided people. But I'm telling you what Quran said, and I'm telling you what Allah said, pertaining to what I just said, and pertaining to who to look for friends, instead of looking for those who are going to misguide you. And also, it mentions that Allah says in chapter 43, verse 36, again, chapter 43, verse 36, hopefully you get to it. He said, whoever turns away from the remembrance, of the compassionate Allah, we assign a shaitan for him who becomes his intimate companions. If you leave Allah, Allah may assign to you a shaitan who's going to misguide you. And you say, oh, well, Allah going to send me a shaitan to misguide me. Then why I'm just going to be misguided? It's not my fault. Allah assigned a kareem or an evil thing with me. But you're the one decided to leave Allah. You're the one that not remembering Allah. And so blaming Allah because now you're in another state. you still have a chance to come back to Allah. As long as you have life in your body, breath in your body, you will come back to Allah, and Allah will be your friend, and Allah will be your helper and protector. And his last one I want to read, that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, a man follows the religion of his friend, so each one should consider whom he makes his friend. I'm going to read that one more time. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, a man follows the religion of his friend, so each one should consider whom he makes his friend. To find out more and learn more about the Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam, you go to Why Islam. You can also enroll in the classes and courses, the International Online University, or go to American Open University to find out more information about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.